Now, the interesting point is that this takes the form of the creation of small units within the wider unit. The wider unit, the green oval, let it be the Sonnenhoeve, then you have small circles in it representing these smaller units that are the responsibility of one individual or two or three individuals. The point is that such a constellation as the Sonnenhoeve develops into a kind of archipelago of cooperating units that together compose this new reality, which also from a social point of view makes life far more pleasant, of course. Generally speaking, you could say that the construction of this new agriculture is about an element that seemed to be impossible in traditional, conventional agriculture. It's about the creation of new employment opportunities. Yeah, in that respect, it's a very strong reversal. Also, empirical studies demonstrate this, that this kind of processes result in farms having far more labor input, other conditions being equal, than the conventional farms. So this is the good news. The second element is that that there is a continuous search, as I explained, for new labor systems, for new legal relations on how to define all this, on how to keep open the possibilities that even new units emerge. Then the question of Maria Fonte. Of course, it's why do I consider these nested markets to be a part of the global market? Well, the simple question would be, well, we are all part of a global system, aren't we? But in a complex, contradictory way. These are markets that are nested, that are embedded in a new social understanding, if you want, between producers and consumers within the locality. They are grounded in new infrastructures. They are sustained by new solidarity relations, by new interest, by new relations between town and countryside. Of course, you could argue that the general markets are also embedded. They are embedded in the big food empires, in the distribution systems, as Polanyi would argue, that they represent. Yeah, they control markets. In that respect, it is also embedded markets, nested markets. But there the rhetoric says, no, this is market as such. It's a self-regulating system. Here it's very explicit. We are talking about markets that are embedded, that are nested in explicit new social relations. They are related. They are part of these global markets in very contradictory ways. They are conditioned by it, but they are at the same time responding to it. They try to create autonomy, but at the same time they are attacked by the big food empires, who try to eliminate these new spaces of self-regulation. So, and to avoid any, naive thinking, I think it's important to stress time and again that it's not a separation between black and white. The one remains to be partially conditioned by the other, and there are continuous frictions, continuous struggles. But so far, it develops further, regardless of all this confusion, regardless of being part of the global market. But as I said, it's a distinctively different part or segment of this global market. I hope that will do.
Great. So there's a point here. I'm going to go to Mike in the back and then the gentleman here.
Hello, my name is Keith Shackleton. I have an interest in sustainability in general and food and biodiversity sustainability, more particularly. In the distant past, I did operate a mixed farm at one point. We are told that the average piece of food that we eat comes, there's various estimates, 1,200 kilometers or more, and we're getting a lot of our vegetables now from Chile and some from New Zealand. I noticed today that the price of oil is at $102 a barrel for U.S., and that the food prices are highest that they've ever been on the world market. We're being told that the oil will become more expensive and more scarce. So my question is twofold. One is, how can we, and I'll just mention one other thing, that we've been told that farmers here in Ottawa, if they go through the big system, ship their food to the distribution terminal in Toronto, and then it's shipped back here to the stores. So buyers from there come up to the farmers or whatever. We do have an increase of farmers markets and community-supported agriculture over the last few years. So first of all, how will this international situation impact on the market, the food marketing system in general? And secondly, how can we increase the kind of thing that you're talking about here in Ottawa region?
I'm Mike Berkelsich with the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies here at Carleton. Thanks for a very lucid description of these new markets, the new social relations and everything. What a success story. Unbelievable. I somehow suspect there might have been some opportunity or some people that tried to do this and maybe weren't quite as successful as what you presented today. So could you share it with us, I guess, what is it? What were the traits about the farms, if I can even use that word, of the folks that you talked about today that allowed them to see challenges, to see conflicts, and to succeed? And the flip side, for those that didn't succeed, what differentiated them? Why did they fail? I'm assuming there must have been some failures along the way. And I think from a policy point of view, getting a handle on that transition pathway is pretty important. So it'd be great to hear a bit about why some are successful and perhaps why some weren't so successful. Thanks.
My name is Dick Bakker, and I'm the son of a Dutch immigrant from Brabant who came here. I now have some land that my dad had farmed years ago. I'm not farming it myself, but I've rented it to two young farmers, one who's raising grass-fed beef and another's doing an organic garden and has set up a little market on the land. But my question is, you've presented a very good case for how mixed farming is has a much higher gross margin than traditional commercial farming. Agriculture Canada seems to have two objectives: to support cheap food for the consumers in Canada, and to support commoditized farming, which then leads to theoretically cheap food. The Dutch Agriculture Department, how do they view this new form, or actually very old form, of mixed farming? So I'm interested, how is the Dutch Agriculture Department dealing with this? And do you have any suggestions for a highly commoditized agriculture department like Agriculture Canada?
No, I was being amused because I like very much your question, and I realized that you coming from Brabant and me coming from the other side of the country, Friesland, for those who do not know, that's not only an issue of north and south, but also of big debates about agriculture that luckily now are internal to both the north and the south. A lot is going on. Anyway, I liked your question and your observation very much. But let me start by the first question of Keith Shackleton. the impact of the energy crisis, of the rising energy prices, that will for sure impact directly and indirectly, and as far as the famous food markets are concerned, considerably. But alongside that, I think that the civil society movements like slow food, like solidarity movement, like fair trade, are as much important as spiraling energy prices. There might, of course, be at some moment in time unexpected dramas, sudden events. That materially, it's impossible to continue these ludicrous flows of commodities, of food all over the world, and that could provoke completely unexpected scenarios. Better to anticipate, of course, and your question was quite direct, what to do in Ottawa. Well, I don't know. But if I had the opportunity to study more about the reality of Ottawa, I could come. I'm talking too much like a scientist, excuse me. To be bluntly, why not invest in the first place, as is done in throughout Europe, in new marketplaces? Yeah, not talking about the market as an abstract system, but as a concrete place where the supply and demand for food, for good food, can meet, can interact, where the stories can be told, where exchange can be, where information can be exchanged, where shopping can become fun again, where people dedicate some time to, where the nice surprises are found. It turns out time and again that this can be a very strong stimulus for a further development of local food systems. And it's, of course, a one-time investment, but it's far better than ongoing subsidies for producing particular commodities or for participating in agro-environmental schemes, which can take on, which can go on for centuries. This is about one-time investments that might trigger complete new dynamics. There is, of course, time and again political opposition to it. For sure, the owners of the terminals in Montreal will not like it that this kind of things pop up. And if you would, this is all, I'm already anticipating a little bit the answer to the second question as well. In Europe, this all grew in a silent, nearly an underground, initially unabsorbed way, because it was thought to be, well, it is only in the margin of the big commodity flows. This is not threatening. In the meantime, it became very strong, a very strong reality. In the meantime, farmers' markets are not being camouflaged anymore. Now, a new symbol you see in many parts, in many farmers' markets, is a very proud, electronic device, where it shows the price that is asked in the surrounding supermarkets. Yeah, and the message is very just it's public information. The message is very clear: our products are better. It's there is far more freshness. It's more accountable, and it's even for you as consumer cheaper. That's a position of strength. So maybe that could be interesting for Ottawa as well. And then, indeed, what about the failures? What about the successes? Well, the first interesting point is that quite often the failure is the starting point for the next trajectory towards success. Just to give an example of one farmer I know very well from one of the aisles, who explained once to me, it's a little bit like the solar farm, who produced very interesting type of lamp and other products, but then suddenly the commercial house distributing it said, I don't want it anymore. He said, well, there was an enormous amount of lamp meat and no notion about where to go with it. And from there on, he also developed this, let's say, this kind of pattern, yeah, delivering to a multitude of markets, nested markets, instead of one being dependent on one channel for delivery. Yes, there are many failures. If you take the picture as a whole, one strong drive for innovation and for persistence and for the creation of successes has been the inflow. It seems strange, the inflow of non-rural people, non-agrarian people, into the farming sector. At the beginning of this process, yeah, it have been outsiders who broke through the routines, and then this was the stimulus for others to share, to jump on the train as well. Important for success is cooperation, flexibility in order to come at grips with heterogeneity as much as possible. Importance is to build in several escape routes. Important is, so I could go on. Yeah, there are lessons to be drawn. I just refer to a few. The most important failure is entering this kind of new experiments when it's already too late. When you're highly specialized, let's say, in chicken breeding, you have a farm, at first sight, a very macho farm with 100,000 broilers or whatever it is. It's completely specialized. And then prices go down and your income is being crushed. And if you decide at that moment, hey, come on, I want to renew, I want to open a farm shop to sell all these eggs or all these chicken fillets. Well, of course, that's ludicrous. It's too late. Yeah, the art of anticipation is quite often decisive. In the Netherlands also, especially after the Second World War, the objective of cheap food was important. Now that's not anymore the objective. The objective is competitiveness at world market level, which in practice, of course, translates to very low prices for farming. The position of the Dutch Ministry of Agriculture is ambiguous. All this renewal occurred indeed first outside, completely outside of the interest of the ministry. It was considered to be irrelevant. When it became relevant and strong, they could not neglect and deny it anymore. They started with another potentially very dangerous attitude. Hey, what's going on here? This needs to be controlled. Yeah, and now, ironically, the European, but especially the member state regulations are one of the main threats, one of the main, they are provoking the potential failures at the moment. Yeah, they are at odds with the real dynamics, they are at odds with the heterogeneity. They simply try to impose the traditional logic to new fields of activity. And as a matter of fact, much of what I have been describing occurs in practice as a social struggle, a struggle against regulation, struggle to escape from regulation, struggle to hide yourself. Both in the UK and in Italy, I guess, as in the Netherlands, nearly all farms who are involved in building up new local food systems and new food markets are in one way or another in a position of illegality. Very simple, for instance, in order to control the zoonoses, the big animal diseases, the state wants to have an exact photograph of the movement of all cattle and the movement of all people in the countryside. So if you have a farm shop, you need to ask everybody, Who are you? Where do you come from? Where are you going afterwards? Have you been in contact with animals in another place? Which is ludicrous, impossible. Yes, sometimes people, well, they print already at the beginning of the week the whole list of standard answers so that they have it ready when the controllers come. But it's ludicrous, of course. Yeah, this is at odds with real social life. Now, you cannot be but in a position of transgression. You're not obeying these kind of regulations. So this makes the cry for more self-regulation, the space for more self-regulation, stronger and stronger. But this is not anymore, let's say, a cry that's built on abstract principles, but on material needs. In order to progress, we need protection. We need from these regulatory schemes from the government. We need spaces for self-regulation, and exactly that is what people in our ministry absolutely do not understand. But for sure, in Canada, it's different.
I was just thinking that I've now already got the message of this workshop for the next 2 days, that the way to produce and distribute good food both in Europe and Canada is to do so illegally. Because that dynamic is very true here as well. I'll just take two more because we got to get to the clock here at 7. So Dougal and then right over here.
Hello. My name is Dougal Rattray. I work with the Quebec Farmers Association. And I'm interested in finding out what academia is doing at studying the or measuring the diversity between local food production models and the what has become the traditional conventional model, and then doing a cost-benefit analysis of those two and comparing them to change policy.
I'm Jennifer Sumner from the Ontario Institute for Studies and Education at the University of Toronto. And hearing about rebuilding local food systems in Europe raises the hope of sustainable food systems. And I think one characteristic of a sustainable food system is to make sure that everybody eats and eats well. Not that so much food is available, but actually everybody gets to eat. And I wondered, within this, these nested markets that you've been talking about, are there any initiatives that address that question?
Well, about the parts of the academia studying these differences and trying to give a correct assessment of empirical assessment of the strengths but also the weaknesses to make this kind of comparative analysis. It started very much in the margin of academia. Yeah, that could be noted in nearly everywhere in Europe, in Italy, in the Netherlands, in my university, Wageningen. It was first very marginal. Yeah, it was considered, this newly emerging reality was considered to be a deviation from the rule, and anyway as a mistake, and all interest for it was considered to be as investing in a dead horse. Things changed, and now there is in many places throughout Europe there is there are strong multidisciplinary research groups nearly in all universities studying very seriously these matters, also because this of course this divide between industrializing agriculture on the one hand and this newly emerging sustainable local food systems and different trading patterns is associating increasingly with other issues like animal welfare. Yeah, I did not touch that aspect, but you will understand that is very important. It relates with issues of fair trade. It relates with the issue of the quality of life in the countryside and in densely populated parts in northwest of Europe, but also in the Mediterranean area. This, of course, is tremendously important. It relates with issues of public health, yeah, in as far as new diseases as the Q fever. The Q is for quarry. It's not yet completely known, but it's in the Netherlands already over the last 12 months more than 20 people died, whilst hundreds have been very seriously damaged. They have a kind of chronic. They are very tired chronically lost their energy. And it's related with the developments in agriculture, and it seems to be related with the divide between these two tendencies. The one offering promises that it could be done better. So all this implies that antibiotic use and emergence of antibiotic resistance in hospitals is another crucial area. So this is not considered to be anymore as an issue of the countryside alone, let alone an issue of farmers alone. Yeah, it intersects with issues that are of far wider interest. That's why now more study, more debate is going on. The issue of food for everybody. Initially, there was widespread skepticism also in Europe, saying, well, it's nice, these high-quality products, but they are far too expensive. They are for the rich only. The interesting point is that, for instance, in Italy, where the bargaining power of, the real salaries of people have been declining already for quite a while, that this has not affected, as far as I know, the purchase of organic products or high-quality products. People increasingly consider that the price-quality relation is far better for these local food systems than it is through the supermarkets. Beyond that, as I, you remember one of the images I showed in the beginning of Italian farmers directly selling their milk. Yeah, their milk is cheaper than the one of Parmalat offered in the supermarkets. It's far better, and at the same time, the farmers get a better price, a better income. Yeah, what seemed to be an unavoidable contradiction. New tendencies in farming, but at the same time exclusion of many consumers, is increasingly resolved precisely through this emergence of new nested markets, which tackled the both sides of the equation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming today, and thank you all for coming as well.